Hey, my friends. By the time this goes up, it will be only a little bit over a month before our taxes are due. And if you need help, you should get in touch with Molly Morris at m3virtualaccounting.com. Molly is super helpful, will work with you on whatever you need, and she will even do a free consult just to make sure that she can actually do what it is you're looking for. She is a godsend. I wish I had hired her a lot sooner. Everything in my life has gone more smoothly since I hired her. I can't recommend her enough. So again, if you want to talk to her and see if she can help with what you need, go to m3virtualaccounting.com and get a free consultation. That's m3virtualaccounting.com.
This is an Unspoiled Network podcast.
This is some spoiled Song of Ice and Fire 2, the co-host switcheroo, the re-reading, return to Westeros HBO spoiler edition. If Rashawn remembers the HBO spoilers, which she doesn't sometimes, uncut, uncensored, and too hot for TV, bringing you the greats from 1998. Call in with your request now. In this episode, we're covering chapter 72 and 73, Jaime and John. In Jaime's chapter, well, he's struggling internally. What else is new? And John is struggling externally, mostly. And there's somebody who comes to the rescue. Welcome to Unspoiled.
Monsters are dangerous, and just now, kings are dying like flies.
I am the king!
Fuck the king.
Welcome to the show, everyone. I am Natasha.
I'm Rashawn.
All right, so these chapters, I'm going to jump ahead just for a moment because the John thing. We, you know, had the Davos chapter where he has a missive that he brings to Stannis' attention. And I was like, what do you think it is? And you were like, I don't know what it could be. And I was very surprised because it is not specific to the books. This is something that also happened in the show. So I thought you would have put it together.
No, ma'am.
But you didn't.
I did not. I forgot all about this shit.
Yeah.
All about it.
Did this catch you off guard in his
Absolutely.
Chapter?
I said, what the fuck is Stannis doing here?
Oh, did you really? You didn't even have a like, oh, right, Stannis. That's amazing.
What the fuck is Stannis doing here is what I said to no one in particular.
My God, that's amazing.
I people think I either am exaggerating or I am like playing. I be trying to tell y'all the way that my brain works is wholly unreliable when it comes to shit like this. Some stuff I remember so clearly and other shit just is fucking gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gone for real. Just gone. It's not great. It's not an easy way to live. I manage, but you know.
Your results may vary.
But the podcast and what we do is one of the few areas where it really is, you know, apparent the way that my memory works and how fucked it is.
That is so fun. I really thought that at least once it happened in the book, you would have been like, oh, right. I am cracking up.
Man.
As you can hear, I'm cracking up obviously.
When the reveal is that it's, you know, they're chanting Stannis, I was just like, wait, Stannis? He's at the wall? Did he go to the wall in the show? That doesn't seem right. And then I was like, but I do remember them being in the snow. But, like, that's the best I could do. I remember those motherfuckers being in the snow because when on the show, they're, like, in a snowy forest when they end up putting Shireen to the fucking flames. They're, you know. But that's it. That's the memory. It's completely without context. I don't remember where they're on their way to, where they're coming from. I just can picture them being in like a snowy forest and burning her. And that's the best I can do.
Man.
That's it.
All right. Well,
so
we're going to back up now and we're going to talk about Jamie.
Yeah.
Because we're well into differences with Jamie at this point.
Listen, this is, I don't even know where to start. Actually, I do. He walks up to a girl on a horse. And this bitch says her name is Arya Stark. I said, I beg your pardon? Your name is who what now?
Yep.
And right before that moment, they have Tommen signing just like all this paperwork, right?
Yeah.
And it's like a bunch of shit that I like normally don't care about. I don't know who these people are. We're giving lands and titles to people that supported us and taking it from other people. And there's a line that says we're parted. We're given a pardon to the Westerlings.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh, Jane.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. And so I have talked before about like partial spoilers and snippets that I remember from, you know, the show and people talking in comments. And I have been under the impression that Jane pretends to be Sansa in the book. And that that's who marries Ramsay. Because when the whole show thing happened with Sansa and then the rape and everything, right? And that was,
right.
It was so upsetting on its face, but then doubly so because it was sort of fabricated. Like it happened, but it didn't happen to Sansa, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So then from those conversations, I thought I had heard or read that the person it happened to in real life was Jane. Not real life, but in the book.
Yes, yes.
Was Jane. So then my brain did this thing where I thought that meant that Jane was masquerading as Sansa.
Huh. Right? Okay. Because you underestimated George R. R. Martin's capacity to name everybody the same fucking thing.
Apparently.
Very understandable, frankly. It is a phenomenon not often seen with authors at this scale.
So This someone pretending to be Arya, I didn't know that. Like, I was nowhere near thinking that that was a thing. That
gotcha.
Was such a huge shock for me reading that. And then we find out that not everybody, but the people, but all the people who count are in on this lie. Right?
I feel like you're so outraged that you're like,
I can't even speak. Right? Because I think Jamie says something offhand, like, or someone's, I forget how it happens, but it's like, you know, hope he doesn't find out, like hope Ramsay doesn't find out the truth or whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, wait, no, he knows.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah, there's a second where he's like, he couldn't really remember what Arya had looked like. And it's almost like, oh, he hadn't paid that much attention to her. So it was surprising to realize that's who this was. And then a second later, he's just like, well, let's hope that this whole farce goes well. And you're like, oh, I thought you were being fooled also, but you're just like approaching it as if, well, if I didn't know,
yeah,
what would I be suspecting? Nothing.
So I this is like, I get that this is a sort of a ploy to try to like shore up the North. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, I just thought that it was going to be a lie that like only one or two people were aware of.
Gotcha.
I had assumed that the Boltons, at least Ramsay, maybe not Roos, but at least Ramsay would think he was marrying the real girl.
Mm-hmm.
But no, apparently that is not the thing at all.
Yeah.
We're just going to go ahead with this charade.
Ah, yes.
And just hope that like anyone who would have known her, the real Arya Stark, most of them are dead, and the few that would have seen her in real life. It's been so long that she wouldn't be the little girl that they remember.
Yeah, very
much. And that is just wild to me.
Yeah, the idea when he was like, when who's going to check us, basically everybody that would know better is dead. I was like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Like the thought of just being so alone in the world that people could pretend, and you can be out there watching them pretend and knowing they're lying, mm-hmm. and stand up and say, no, I am. And everybody could just be like, no, you're not.
Yep.
That yep. is so yep. sad it, and scary. Oh,
and you know what's funny is that we're not that far removed in time from people pulling shit like this.
Yes.
You yep. know, it wasn't that long ago. People would just disappear from their life and go make a whole new fucking life. Mm-hmm. A new name, a new driver's license, get a new job, a new family. I am low-key kind of miss those days.
Listen, when I listen to Scam Goddess, some of the scams that people perpetrated, it's like, okay, yes, that was a cute scam, well thought out, but also you just were very lucky to live in an age mm-hmm. where absolutely nobody could double check any of the shit you were saying. Yep. Like,
I watched 2 seconds of that murder trial that was happening in South Carolina that just ended.
You know, the guy
that killed his wife and his son, yeah. the lawyer. I watched like maybe 5 minutes of closing remarks because I was working from home that day and I was like on my lunch break. I just had the TV on. And in the 5 or 6 minutes that I watched, they were in the middle of like dismantling his alibi. Mm-hmm. And they had pulled all of these like phone records and text messages like right from the cell towers.
Okay.
And I was just like, wow, they can just pull our shit like that.
Yeah.
And then at one point they were talking about the timing of his alibi and they had all this data from his car. It sat idling for approximately 3 minutes and then it went to park and then it went to drive and then it idled and then it was here. And then I was like, God damn.
That's amazing.
Like, I know that we live in a surveillance state, but like knowing it. And then seeing it, mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, I got to get off the grid, man.
There is so much that I also like with listening to Snapped and whatnot. Like, I had been under the impression for a while that you turn your phone off, you're good. And now it's like, no, no, no. If your phone is turned off, but you still have Find Me enabled, mm-hmm. which most of us would have, because then even if somebody steals your phone and turns it off, you can still find them and catch mm-hmm. them. So it's a good idea for your own security to have it on. Then they can still track everything.
Yep.
And that part, a lot of people don't know. And they get caught up with that one because they were, like me, blissfully unaware mm-hmm. of the extent to which that sort of shit, like,
if you have
power,
if you have the fucking Google Maps navigation drawn on your phone, mm-hmm. that shit is always telling you where it's tracking you all the time. My brother yep. thinks it's really funny. He'll be like, I wonder where I was October 12th, 2000 and blah blah blah, and he'll just go look and he'll be like, oh, I was at the gas station at the corner of blah blah blah.
How does he find it, like, on his own phone?
He walked me through how to do it. You can like go open it up and then go into like your own history.
Ah.
And see where you've been. And he's like, yeah, this is me flying to Texas and this is when I went to Colorado. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I was like, I don't want that on my phone.
Man.
But you can turn it off though. Like you can, that's like a something you can enable or disable, but still.
The sort of thing though that the thought of not having Google Maps on my phone gives me such anxiety. I don't know if I would be able to find my way out of a paper bag without it at this point. Like, it's so dependent on it. There's a Parks and Rec episode where Tom, who is like the terminally online character played by Aziz Ansari, he is punished by a judge for getting in a car accident while texting with his phone being taken away. And he's like 2 hours late for work the next day because he doesn't know how to get to work because he's used his maps every day since he got hired and never learned. And that was the way Brendan was. He would go to some place every day for 2 years And then when I was like with him in the car and if he didn't put it on his phone, he would go the complete wrong way. And it was just not, it was remarkable. I couldn't believe that even with using your maps, how do you just not notice landmarks and stuff, you know? But like he didn't, it just didn't register. His brain was in a completely different place. Anyway. Okay. So this chapter begins with Tom. And like you said, signing all these things, you were saying like, I don't care about a lot of this stuff, which I can understand, but also a lot of it is sort of significant in terms of like,
of who's doing what and who's being rewarded and mm-hmm. who's not. There's a mention of not only taking like River Run from the Tullys, but, making it official that Edmure and the Blackfish are, what do they call them? Like enemies. I want to say enemies of the state, but that doesn't feel right.
I mean, like, that's kind not of, totally wrong, I guess. Right? Yeah.
We find out that this is also when Ramsay gets legitimized. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that now he's actually, you know, a Bolton. Roose becomes Warden of the North. That's a huge deal. Castamere is going to somebody I don't recognize, Spicer, Lord Spicer, or Sir Spicer.
They are connected to Jane Westerling.
Oh.
The Spicers, yeah.
Okay.
So that's the, you know, some of the suggestion that, like, some of Jane's family knew what the fuck was up and were in on the whole thing. And, you know, this is part of where that like conspiracy theory comes from about that somebody like drugged or did something to impair Rob's judgment. So I don't know. It feel like for me, it's like I simultaneously don't want that to be true because I like the idea of him just having made a bad choice, mm-hmm. but I also feel like that makes a lot of sense to me, you know, especially considering how hard on his vows he, or his like honor he tended to be,
right,
in respect to his father's memory in a lot of cases, having to do something to him to sort of like just get him tipped over the edge just kind of tracks. So I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah. So they, and that's right. So, you know, it's funny. The some bits of the show that I remember really well, I get confused with the book.
Mm-hmm.
I keep forgetting that in the book, Rob's wife, Jane, or is it Jane or Jenny?
Jane. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's not at the Red Wedding.
Correct.
I keep forgetting it. I keep forgetting, you know, wait, she didn't die. She's still out there. So, they are bringing her back. They're rewarding someone else. You just told me the Spices are connected. So, yeah, that all looks very, very sus.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Jamie also has been sparring. This is different than the show, too, because on the show, he spars with Bronn to try to get his skills up.
Yeah.
But here, it's Sir Marbran. And Jamie is concerned. One, he got his ass beat because he just can't fight with his left hand yet.
Yep.
But he's also really concerned because he trusts this guy, but the knowledge that this man has now that Jamie is, in his own words, useless, if that gets out, it's a fucking wrap.
Yeah.
And I am nervous for you. Jamie's like, I should have fucking would have been better off if I had used Sir Payne. Because at least he can't tell nobody.
Yeah, I was like, actually, that is a fucking solid, you know,
like,
idea.
Like, where was that idea before?
I think that he underestimated how bad he was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think is what happened.
He's in pretty bad shape, too.
Yeah.
He's, like, sore as shit. And they were just, like, play fighting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He talks about how he got disarmed, like, 3 or 4 times. And that if it had been a real sword, he'd have died 2 dozen deaths.
That cracked me up. Just like, and how like sort of dismissive some of the just, I just really feel for him in terms of your whole identity being tied up in something. It mm-hmm. has, I've had some dreams about, you know, how creative I am with like drawing and baking and all of these things. And what if I wind up with such bad arthritis that I can't use my hands anymore. Mm. And like how much that would fuck with my whole sense of myself.
Right.
Because so much of who I am is just tied in with like things I do.
Yeah.
And it's not a real healthy place to be, but it's also like, well, what are you other than what you do?
Yeah.
You know?
The way that he describes the difficulty he's having with fighting, one of the things I appreciated is that he's not just being like, oh, well, my left hand isn't good or as good. But he's talking about how every instinct that he has is wrong now.
Yeah.
And he has to think about every move where before it was instinctual. It was mm-hmm. like it was like muscle memory, you know?
Yep.
And now because he has to think about everything, it makes him slow. And the time it takes for him to think what the next move is, whoever he's sparring with has fucked him up like 3 or 4 times, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it just – I thought that was just a really – I'm glad it was included because – it's so much more than just being like, oh, well, you know, you're just going to use your left hand now and just learn that. It's no big deal. Like, mm-hmm. it changes, you know, you have to relearn everything.
Yeah.
So I was glad that that was included. When he says, you know, it seems so simple. I'm just changing hands, but it wasn't.
I can't imagine, like, just trying to write with my left hand mm-hmm. is so pitiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. good God, it barely yep. looks like human writing.
Yep.
I can't imagine, especially something like fighting, which is so based in instinct and
with that, timing and is so like, important.
Yeah. And he was particularly good at it because mm-hmm. of how sharp his instincts were. So you lose that. And everything that made you exceptional at it no longer works for you. It works yeah. against you. Like, ugh, it just sucks, man. It just sucks.
Yeah. yeah. So he's Jamie's struggling. Mm-hmm. And we find out a little bit. I mean, there's a lot going on. There's a he stays at the small council meeting and watches this stuff for a while. But he's fucking bored to death. Like, this is not the life he wants for himself at all.
It isn't.
And he's looking at Tom, and there's this one bit where he is just looking at him. And again, we see Jamie regarding his son, but there is none of that sort of fatherly instinct there.
Yeah.
You know, there is just this just completely missing. And he's like, you know, basically he's still a baby. He's like pink and round is how he describes his face. He's inclined to plumpness, which is a really weird phrase. He's inclined to plumpness. Like,
same.
What? I mean, aren't we all?
No, unfortunately. Like, you know, and there are sometimes just going to be medical reasons for that. But there are some people who just are lean, and that is just the way their body works. And I have always been, like, really bitter about it.
Yeah, well, imagine having that and then losing it and then taste that bitterness, ma'am.
I'm sorry. I can't feel bad for you. I have no sympathy whatsoever. You have no
sympathy for me?
It is completely gone. Nope, none.
Oh, damn.
I'm just like, listen, you were on easy mode for such a long time. This is just the just desserts now.
But it's not
I just never got an easy mode.
But it's not just desserts because I have a whole mother who is – didn't happen to her. So
she has other shit going on.
That's true. Really wouldn't want to. You're right. I don't want to swap. You're right. She can have that. So and then there's this really cute little thing with Tom and before we leave the small council where he gets really excited after he's done signing everything because now it's time to seal him with the wax, and that is just adorable.
I fucking love that so much. It is so, like, I can't tell you guys how very recently I have had this sort of excitement, but it did have something to do with putting together my wedding invitations, and it was 100% the thing I was looking forward to. You remember, right?
I do.
The gold. Yeah.
It was beautiful.
It was so pretty, you guys. Ugh. Yeah, anyway, so yeah, this is highly relatable content again. I really just Tommen's whole vibe of basically I want to have pet cats and play with the sealing wax and don't really like feel all that much interest in anything else.
He's just he's a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it seems at least he has a certain amount of innocence still around him. And he definitely does not possess the fucking psychopathy that was Joffrey.
Yes.
Which is, you know, I think we all can agree, a great relief. Because do we really want to watch that again? We don't want to watch that again.
Fucking really.
And so, yeah, so Jaime leaves, and this is when he bumps into this young lady pretending to be Arya, and they are, at this description of her too, a skinny, hollow-eyed girl wrapped in a heavy cloak, and it's got a little wolf clasp, you know, which is basically, I guess, all you need to pretend to be a Stark. You just put some wolf shit on, and
basically,
that's it.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise, he says
they don't
she
have social security cards.
They really don't have any of their fingerprints. They're not doing none of that shit. He says she had a very pretty face, or had a pretty face, but her eyes were sad and wary. And I thought that was funny because everybody has told me, and the book has told me, that Arya has a lot of things, but she was never pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has this interaction with her, and she introduces herself, and Jaime is just like, yeah, I understand you're getting married. And they talk about the Boltons, and then
she says, he's supposed to be very brave. I'm so happy. And he's like, wow, yeah, you could tell.
Right? If you're so happy, why do you sound so fucking frightened? So then he heads back, and there's a moment where he is thinking about the champion battle with Clegane and Oberyn.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets mad all over again. Because fucking Ser Boros didn't do crowd control like he was supposed to when that kid ended up getting killed. And Jaime is like mad at Clegane about it. He's mad at Ser Boros about it. And he's a little salty at the kid himself. He's like, there's enough blame to go around for everybody.
Yeah, he's like, look, maybe that first one was unavoidable because man's a fucking maniac. But the second one, he really should have been on his shit a little bit more. Like, come on.
And we find out that Clegane, even though he won the battle, he is in bad shape.
He sure is.
And they suspect that there was poison on the spear, which we all are in agreement. But they don't know what kind of poison, so they're having a hard time healing him. And the Dornish people are not trying to share any information. And then we lead into fucking Tywin, y'all.
Yo.
This dude is a goddamn menace. He might be a genius, but he is just really a menace. He wants the mountain to be healed so they can have an execution.
Honestly. It's because, so annoying.
Because he's trying to shore up relations with, what does he call it? The Sunspear. But that's just Dorne, right?
Yeah. Sunspear is like the sort of like the King's Landing of Dorne. It's like the capital city.
Okay. So he's trying to make sure that they get all of that under control before Stannis has a chance, because there's a sort of they have noticed that Stannis has left where he was, and they don't know where he went.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out he went to the wall.
Yeah, we get a hint here that also might have tipped you off, but I guess not.
But so they're concerned that Stannis is heading towards Dorne. And so Tywin is like, what we're going to do is I basically promised them that the mountain is going to pay for his crime. So I need him to be healed so that we can then kill him in a big show. And
fucking guy.
So what we have is somewhere, you know, in the castle, there is the mountain being treated, and he just screams all day and all night.
I'm so happy about it. There are some people that even when they do awful things, when they begin to suffer, I'm kind of like, all right, let's wrap this up. And then there's Gregor Clegane. And as far as I am concerned, they can keep him in this state for the next decade, and it will still not be enough. That's where I'm at with this fucking absolute so, wreck of monster isn't even adequate. Like,
I am curious. The show did that thing where they brought him kind of back as this weird Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's in the book or not. I have no idea if that's something like. Is that where this goes, or does he eventually get healed so he can be executed or whatever? I'm very curious about that.
Right.
I feel like the Franken Gregor reeked of show, you know, that felt like a real show thing to do. But I don't know. Like, I'm not in a position to really judge. But we'll see if that's part of the book story.
Oh, and I want to just correct myself, because after saying that Sunspear is like a capital, I was like, I bet that's like not exactly right. And people are going to say a thing. So it is basically the name of their palace is Sunspear.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah. Like the Red Keep to King's Landing, and then Sunspear to whatever the main city is. And then Dorne would be like the country.
Dorne isn't. It's like the region. They're not their own country exactly, even though they want to be.
Well, aren't they in that weird position where they're like part of Westeros and part of the Seven Kingdoms, but also kind of not.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. So really it's more like their Sunspear is at like the Red Keep more than it's like King's Landing. Because gotcha. It's specifically the building.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's what I said. Sunspear is like the Red Keep. But then I said Dorne is like King's Landing. Oh, I don't know what you said. Didn't. I said it backwards.
Yeah, you did the other way.
Gotcha.
You wanted it to be this way, but this other way.
So, Jaime is heading back up to his area where the Kingsguard are. And Cersei is there. In mm-hmm. his bedroom, his bedchamber. Why they just can't say bedroom? But and she's there, and she looks very becoming. You know, she's in her nightgown, and the wind is blowing, and she's at like the window looking out over the city.
This bitch knows exactly what she's doing.
Does, and mm-hmm. he walks in the room and sees her, and is like, "God damn, this bitch is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Why is she so fine though?" And she wants him to talk their father out of sending her away, because he wants to send her to Casterly Rock
mm-hmm.
so that in Cersei's mind, Tywin can sort of mold and run the city, the country, and Tommen without her interference.
Right.
Is what Cersei is thinking his plans are.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, you guys, I don't think Tywin even worries about Cersei in that way. Like
she's a non-factor.
She's not like competition. He doesn't need to get her out of his way. Mm. You know, he might be just sick of her bullshit, but I feel like any kind of marriage he's proposing is much more political about what he can gain and less about I need her out of the way so I can run Tommen. Tywin's going to run whatever the fuck he wants to run because he feels like running it until somebody comes and stops him.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
But she is of the mind that this is about getting her out of the way so that her father can steal her son from her.
It's interesting because, like, on the one hand, I do see what you mean, where he wouldn't consider her a threat or anything that he really needs to worry about dealing with. On the other hand, he did seem really frustrated at how she hadn't gotten Joffrey in hand. And so I'm wondering if there's just a sense of like, we have to get this little boy away from his mommy because she doesn't know how to make a king that is respectable and competent. You know what I'm saying?
That's interesting. Yeah. I guess it would really be a matter of, like, I know that he blames Cersei for not being able to manage her son better,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know if I ever thought that he, because to me, Joffrey was just such an anomaly, right? Mm-hmm. He was just clearly a rotten, rotten, depraved little human being, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like Tywin is smart enough and astute enough that he can tell that Tommen is not like that.
But I think you're right. But also, he was clearly kind of shocked at who Joffrey was when he came back to King's Landing, because he didn't seem to be prepared for the what's the word I want? Opposition isn't even adequate. The incompetence that Joffrey displayed over and over again. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm not sure. I guess in Tywin's mind, if we were trying to imagine what he's thinking, he could think that that was a result of a lack of discipline and a mother that overindulged him. So he's trying to avoid that with Tommen by getting Cersei out of the way. I guess that tracks.
Because I feel like that's kind of what he said to Tyrion at one point. Like, Tyrion tries to say something like, Joffrey is a fucking monster. And Tywin won't agree. He says something like, the boy just needs to be taken in hand. And yeah, it's like, yeah. he can't admit that maybe there's just something fundamentally fucking wrong with this kid.
Yeah, I agree that Tywin feels like if I had raised Joffrey, we wouldn't have had these problems.
Yeah.
All right, so maybe he is getting her out of the way, but not in the way that she thinks because she's a threat, but more just because Tywin doesn't think that she's a good influence on a future king.
Yeah, I think that.
Which, you know, would be even more of a blow to Cersei's ego, since she really thinks that she's quite smart.
She thinks a lot of things.
And so, to her mind, you know, it's about getting her out of the way so that her father can have more power, when really he wants her out of the way because he thinks that she's, like, low-key dangerous to these children, because she just doesn't know how to raise them into good people. So, yeah, he still, Tywin does not and never did really accept that his grandson was a horrible little monster, because that's what he was born as. And he instead blames it on Cersei. And probably be Robert.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Also, Tywin knows, like, in his heart that his kids are fucking right deep down inside.
This is a question that comes up a lot. Like,
I go back and forth. Sometimes I'm really convinced that he does, and I'm convinced that he chooses not to see the monster that Joffrey turned out to be because he doesn't want to think about it in those terms. Like, you know, my two kids did this, you know, this is an abomination, and of course it's a little monster. Like, he doesn't want to acknowledge any of that. Not, you know, again, this is that sort of very old fashioned, like, incest breeds, you know.
Sure.
Whatever. Not talking about, like, in real life, guys. I think a lot of that's been disproven. So she's here, and that's what she wants of Jaime. And Jaime is trying to be like, I don't know if you have been around lately or you are aware, but our father is not really talking to me right now. He definitely is not going to listen to me make any demands and order him around. I don't know what you think I can do. And she straight up is like, if you leave the Kingsguard, then he will do whatever you ask, is where she comes down.
Yeah.
And he is not willing to make that sacrifice.
Yeah. All. What do you think?
You know, I was surprised that he said no to her so often in this exchange, you know? Like, she's got his pants down, part of the way down. She definitely got his dick out. And we know, she says at one point, because he's like, not here, this is foolish, like, this isn't the right place. And she's like, well, you fucking took me in the Sept, why can't I take you here? And he's worried about being caught. And he keeps saying no. And at one point, she's just like, did you lose your hand or your dick? Like, what the fuck happened to you?
Yeah, it's pretty rough. It's like, what I found interesting, especially, is the fact that he didn't care about fucking in the Sept. But then here, this place is more sacred to him.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah. Which is this, really interesting.
This is a place that deserves, like, respect.
Yeah.
He won't, like, defile it here or disrespect the space. They have a conversation, too, about fucking Bran and this dagger.
Yeah.
And now Jaime is thinking maybe Joffrey was behind it.
Yeah.
Which she is just like, why? He would never, and like, not that he didn't have it in him, but like, why would he do that? That little kid meant nothing to him, mm-hmm. you know? And Jaime is like, he would do it to impress his father.
Yeah, which is like a point that had never occurred to me. Mm. When I first read this, I was just like, impress his father? How would that? And then I was like, oh, because he was talking about, oh, I see. Okay. But it's like such a weird thing where I'm like, would he then tell his father that he did it? Like, you want to impress
how that was,
and then you have
to
take credit, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't know. I guess and that's the thing, though, about a child's mind, right?
Right.
Because it doesn't make any sense. Like, you're going to brag to your father that you attempted to have your best friend's son murdered?
Mm-hmm.
How? What?
Which I guess, like, he did bring a cat that he had performed a, what do you call it, vivisection to Robert, thinking that Robert was going to be perfectly fine with it and was genuinely surprised at his reaction. So I guess Joffrey just doesn't have a good understanding of what people think is fine and
no,
good.
Clearly not. Yeah. Clearly not.
But I do. I would like to talk to him and just be like, so what was the next step then? What were you going to do? I really want to know, man. I can't figure it out.
I just, it's just such a, like, yeah, I don't know. If he had been successful, who does he brag to?
Mm-hmm.
Who did, because he's definitely the type that would brag.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, I guess I'm trying to think how much time it was between the attempt on Bran's life and when Robert actually died. And I can't remember
The time of in these books is so fucked you up know, for me that I can't
remember. But so then he's talking to Cersei a little bit more, and one of the things Jaime says is, if Tyrion, who almost died because he got accused of being behind the attempt,
mm-hmm.
if Tyrion has put this together, maybe that's why. And I assume he's going to finish that sentence with, he tried to, like, have Joffrey killed.
Right.
Or kill Joffrey or poison him or whatever. But Cersei interrupts him because she doesn't care about the wise.
And fucking Cersei in a sentence.
Yeah, she does not care about the wise. And starts to kind of get a little unraveled. Now she's talking to Jaime about how she watched Joffrey die. Tyrion murdered him right in front of my eyes. You don't know what it was like. You weren't there. Now, you know, father's trying to take Tommen. Marcella has been away in Dorne, and I'm all alone, and you're all I have left, Jaime.
Mm-hmm.
So she's really fucking putting it on him.
Yeah, she is, in more ways than one.
And, she's telling him also that, like, I don't want to, because she says Jaime, she tells Jaime that father is going to force me to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And Jaime is a little surprised by this, which he should have been, because I'm pretty sure he had a conversation with his father about this.
About himself getting married. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess he just thought Cersei was going to be off the table still. I guess. Girl can still have kids, man. That's mm-hmm. pretty much the only requirement necessary in Westeros.
And didn't we see Tywin tell Cersei that to her face? I'm almost positive we had a chapter at some point where he's threatening to marry her off to
somebody. He does, but I don't think Jaime is there yet at that point.
Right.
Because it's before Joffrey dies.
So he wants to know who she might marry, and she's like, it doesn't even fucking matter. Like, some fucking lord or another, whoever father thinks will be the most beneficial. And she tells Jaime that you're the only man I ever want in my bed. To which Jaime says, well, then tell your dad that. Jaime,
Jamie, I know, babe, but like, come on. Like, for real.
Yeah. And he's still on that. The Targaryens got away with it.
Yeah, I mean, he will not let that go.
He does not. They had dragons. They could do what the fuck they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Y'all don't have dragons. So you can't just do whatever. Like, I think he really underestimates that part of the power that the Targaryens had and why they were able to just create rules for themselves that were above what was expected of literally everybody else.
And like, you know, it's been pointed out before, but he behaves as if everybody accepted the Targaryens and their incest. And it was a big problem. Like, there had to be like dispensations made and whatnot. And it was constantly under debate whether or not maybe this generation we should stop with that part. Like, yeah.
He's just picking highlights.
Very
which is
kind
of what we do, though.
So. It is.
So she continues to beg him to do this for her. She tries to fucking give him a blowjob, and he gets up and like pushes her away. And he also says, I think at some point, that he doesn't really believe that Tyrion did this. Is that here? Does that come up in this conversation?
I feel like she doesn't say it here. It's when he's talking to Brienne later.
Oh, okay.
I think that he knows better than to say that to Cersei.
Like, here it is. She says, was it your hand they hacked off, or was it your manhood? I was a fool to come. Why would I think you would avenge Joffrey? The imp had, tell me if the imp had killed all three of your children, would that have made you mad? And he says, Tyrion is not going to kill Tommen or Mycela. I am still not certain that he killed Joffrey. So yeah, he says that right to her face.
Oh, okay.
And then it does not go over well.
Yeah.
And she's just like, he's always threatening. And he's like, yeah, threats are one thing, but he swears he did not do it. And she gets really pissed at that.
Yeah. Oh, he swears. Oh, well, yeah, okay,
yeah,
then.
Yeah. So, and she says, think what you will. The little monster is in a black cell, and soon Sir Ilyn will have his head. Perhaps you'll keep it for a keepsake. And it gets really nasty. You can put the head and watch over it as you sleep alone in that cold white bed until his eyes rot out. Damn.
Why don't you put your tiny flaccid dick away? Because it's just hanging and it's embarrassing for all of us. And I was like, God damn.
Yeah.
She really goes for the jugular.
She really does. The minute he doesn't give in to what she wants and then you know, doubles down with the saying he's not certain that Tyrion is responsible, she just fucking gloves come off.
Mm-hmm.
So he tells her to leave. She leaves. And then he asks somebody to tell Loras that he's ready to go see Brienne.
There's one thing in addition here that I just wanted to point out, because when he says he swears he didn't do it, oh, he swears, is that it? And dwarves don't lie? Is that what you think? Not to me. No more than you would. You great golden fool. He's lied to you 1,000 times, and so have I. And I was like, oh, okay. She's just saying it.
Just putting it out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, he does not really question it. He doesn't have any real reaction to when she says the thing about, you know, how I've lied to you 1,000 times. He's not like, what? When?
Yeah.
About what? You know,
exactly.
Nothing.
She's just like immediately starts throwing barbs that I think distract him. But that would be something that would worm its way into my brain.
So he heads on up and sees Sir Loras, and he asks him like, okay, you talked. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
And Loras is like, you know, maybe it did happen the way she said.
Maybe I love it.
It really was Stannis. I don't know. He doesn't know. He's like, I can't be certain. And he says that Jaime says that Varys has told me that there was somebody at Storm's End who died under mysterious circumstances also.
Yeah, he's like, it's wild because people say he was stubborn as hell and he's standing his ground. And then one day he just decides he's going to jump off the ramparts. Does that sound like the guy everybody's been talking about?
Yeah.
It's a good point.
Mm-hmm. So he sends Loras away so he can talk with Brienne alone. And Jamie is so, when he's dealing with her, his inner monologue is so wild compared to what he's actually saying out loud.
Yep.
It's
yep.
crazy to read.
Yep. Yeah, he is self-editing a lot. And it's really fascinating because when he speaks out loud, he's not particularly nice about anything. So considering that and how much worse it is in a lot of ways when you are in his head, people would not believe how much he's actually keeping to himself, because like it seems like he just says whatever is in his head anyway. Yeah.
It's taking a lot of effort to get this version of Jamie, and it's not even the best version.
And I feel like I relate to this so hard. You know, people will just be like, man, you just said it. And I'm like, that's the edited version. I did not just say it. I would like to just say it, but I would make people cry. So I'm not going to do that.
So he opens with a compliment. She's wearing a dress again, but this one is a little bit more fitting and more more flattering than the get up she was in that Hope put her in. And they talk about how they each look a little bit different. You know, he looks better than when she saw him last. And she starts to say something about his white cloak.
Yeah.
And this I thought was really interesting. Before she can finish her sentence, he jumps in with a disparaging remark about himself, assuming that she was about to take a shot.
Yeah.
But really, she was about to say that it actually, like, suited him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it doesn't go into, like, any great detail about it or whatever, but it just says Jamie shrugged. But he goes, after she says the thing about the cloak, she says, did you mean what you told Sir Loras about me and about Renly? Because, you know, he had told Loras how much honor she had and what a good fighter she was and how he really didn't believe she would betray Renly. So now she's trying to be like, did you really say all that nice shit about me? Did you mean it? And he's trying to be super casual. Meh. You know?
Well, you know, I say a lot of things. Who can tell? I can't remember.
Exactly. I say all kinds of things. And then he's like, I would have killed Renly myself. So it doesn't really matter to me who cut his throat. Like, he's doing that thing where it's like, I'm not comfortable with how I kind of stood up. I'm not comfortable with our relationship being like this. I need it to be sort of adversarial. I'm not comfortable caring about people. Right? And if I care about you and I did something or I do something that's evidence that I care about you, the polite thing to do is never mention it, right? Don't come up to me.
This is honestly, again, also how I feel about shit. So now I'm just starting to realize.
Are you just Jamie? But yeah, he's really just like, don't come tell me about the good shit I did. That makes me feel weird.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like trying to like get out of it and be all like cavalier and make a little fucking insult to her. He says, because she's like, you told him I had honor. And he's like, I'm the fucking Kingslayer. What I say about honor, that's like fucking a whore vouchsafing your maidenhood.
Mm-hmm.
Sir. She is just trying to thank you for a nice thing you did. Why are you making it so weird?
Oh, God. Yeah, all right. I'm starting to see some stuff. I didn't really put it together, but now I'm feeling.
How's your right hand? You want to check on that real quick?
There's something really suggestive about that. I know you didn't mean it that way, but it felt really like zip.
What'd that right hand do?
Oh, that's stupid.
I'm sorry, y'all. So then he tells her that we are taking Arya Stark up to Roose Bolton.
Mm-hmm.
And she is outraged.
Yep.
And she's talking about the oath that she swore, the oath that Jaime swore. And Jaime is like, okay, first of all, you can't, that oath I swore, there was a sword in my throat. So, you know.
Which is fair.
Like, let's not act like I just promised to do some shit of my own goodwill.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he says, Lady Catelyn's dead. I could not give her back her daughters, even if I had them. And the girl my father sent was not Arya Stark. So he tells her the lie, and then immediately is like, oh, but it's not really her though.
Yeah. Which, what did you think? Were you surprised by that?
So, like, I don't know what is happening. I don't know why these people are doing the things that they are doing. I don't get it. Like, he could have just opened with, hey, we're sending an imposter girl north to the Boltons.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But he doesn't. He makes the news like it's really her. And then within a heartbeat, it's like, ah, nah, it's not really her, though. like, why would you do it like that?
Yeah, I wonder if it was like he wasn't necessarily walking into it intending to tell her everything. And then the way that she kind of freaks out, he's like, all right, fine, I'm going to tell her. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, when we figure out the rest of what he's trying to do here, it makes sense to me that he tells her the truth. Because he wants her to, oh my God, to spit. He dressed her up in white and gray, gave her a silver wolf pin to her cloak, and sent her off to wed Bolton's bastard. And if that is not exactly all, what the fuck happened? That's like, that it. Was it. That's it. That's all it took. I still can't get over it.
Yep. That's it.
What a time to be alive. So he says, I wanted to let you know that it's not really her, because your dumbass would have went off to try to rescue her. So I wanted to let you know that's not even really her, though.
So what insulting, is, and the so way true. He says
that, you would have went galloping off, rescue her, and got yourself killed for no good purpose.
Yep.
So this is when we find out again, because Brienne is like, well, fuck, when they find out that they plan it, when Roose finds out that they're playing in his face, it's going to be ugly. And this is when Jaime is like, oh, no, he knows.
Yeah.
Everybody knows. But again, who is going to say it's not her? Who can say? Which is, like we said at the very beginning of the podcast, is so scary to think about.
It's such a bummer.
Yeah.
That's the thing for me that's just so sad. Like, that anybody who walked the earth who knew your face is gone. And like, we know they're not, but they may as well be.
Right. Right. Yeah. Ugh. That's the thing. They may as well be.
Yeah.
And so Brienne, I love this. She's like, you're betraying your father's secrets. Tell me all of this.
Fucking Brienne.
She's just so fucking straight and narrow, mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. And also, she has been locked up in a cell. She don't know what the fuck's going on outside.
That's true.
But still, like, she spent enough time with Jaime. I feel like she should know better. You know?
Yeah, there's a real, like, Boy Scout kind of vibe to her still.
Really, but I'm like,
gee, you know?
But, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to mention that when, you know, he's being so self-deprecating earlier, but when he gives her the sword, she jumps to the conclusion that she is supposed to, like, run off and kill this girl. And he gets really mad, even though you were the one going out of your way to let her, like, remind her that your oaths don't mean shit to you and you're basically not to be trusted and whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's just, I want you to find Sansa and get you somewhere safe. How else are the two of us going to make good our stupid vows? The wench blinked. I thought, I know what you thought. Suddenly, Jaime was sick of the sight of her. She bleats like a bloody sheep. And I was just like, man, why? What is up, sir? Like, it's one thing for him to feel, to say that shit about himself. But when she buys into what he's saying at face value, now he's offended. And I'm just like, oh, you got to pick one, my friend. I'm sorry.
That's the thing. He can't pick one. He's all over the place. He swings back and forth like you get whiplash when you're in his POV. He's telling her about how they suspect that Sansa was involved or either the main person that poisoned Joffrey. And Brienne is like, no, never.
Yeah.
No, I don't believe it. Lady Catelyn would never raise a daughter that could do something like that. It was definitely your brother. I might have been locked up, but there was a trial, I heard. I know it was your dad. I mean, your brother. And then Jamie's like, well, there's actually two trials. And they both did not work out in his favor. It was a mess. And then he's like, did you watch from your window? Which was just like,
why aren't you like this?
I don't know why that made me laugh so much, but it really, really did. And she has to be like, my cell faces the sea. I don't know
Again,
why.
She just takes everything very seriously that he says.
The two of them together is just... just like, I really don't get tired of it. I think I might even enjoy the book version of them better than I did the TV version. Because when you're in the book, you get just how fucking bonkers Jamie is and how he swings from these moments of just like deep resentment towards her.
Mm-hmm.
And then also this weird thing that I don't think he understands where he low-key wants to, I don't know if make her proud is the right expression, but he doesn't want to be as bad as she thinks of him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though that would serve him well, and who is she to impress, like, really, in the big picture? He doesn't need her approval, but there's something going on where, for whatever reason, it is important to him. And so he comes to her, like, and then he gets, like you said, when you read the bit about her interrupting him, and then all of a sudden he's just really angry and, you know, bleeds like a bloody sheep and all that stuff, you know. It's this just, I don't know what quite to make of it, but it's important to him that she see him for more than just like the Kingslayer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know? But
I also think there's an aspect of just like, I know you would never. Do you think I would come and ask you of all people to go out there and like kill Sansa? Do you think I don't at least at this point have a fucking measure of your personality?
Exactly. Yeah. And he's like really hurt that she would think that he would do that. Not only that she underestimates that he would know better than to even ask that of her.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that she would think that that's something he would ask of her is so, like, I want to say insulting, but I feel like it's deeper than just an insult.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that there's something to the idea of, like, we all want to be seen. Mm. And he can see her and has been defending her.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't see him still.
Yeah.
You know, but you're not letting yourself be seen, Jamie, to be fair.
You're really not, because the few times when she tries to, you know, like at the very beginning, when, like, really, she does the same thing when she assumes that he wants her to go after Sansa to kill her, that when she tries to just give him a compliment about how the white cloak suits him, but he's so defensive, he thinks an attack is coming.
Yep.
You know? Oh, so, yeah. He's, where are we at? So she tries to apologize for what she misunderstood. And he fucking cuts her off. He doesn't even let her apologize and tells her to take it and fucking get out of his face, basically, before he changes his mind.
Yeah.
Go after them. Go search Sansa or go home. Like, I don't even care anymore. I don't even want to look at you. And she calls him by name and he says, Kingslayer. Right? Like, now he's dug his heels in.
He is so... ugh. Jamie.
Yeah.
Babe, so, get therapy.
Yeah. And she says to him, Joffrey was your cuts it off, my king, and leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, okay. And then she says, all right, well, if Sansa killed him, why are we protecting her? And then we have Jaime's thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Which are harsh.
What do you think?
Joff was no more to me than a squirt of sea. And he says that to Cersei too, I think, at some point. But,
basically, yeah.
But he was
never
no more
let
to me
be a father to them is the way he says right. it. But
nothing but a squirt of seed in Cersei's cunt, and because he deserved to die. Listen, that is some fucking, that's a fucking hard thing to say.
Yep.
Which he didn't say it, he just thought it, but y'all know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and we had been watching Jaime struggle with the lack of emotion around Joffrey's murder, you know, and feeling so disconnected. But we haven't, I don't think, heard him say he deserved to die yet.
No, definitely not.
Which was, I was shocked. I was really surprised. I didn't know that little piece of sentence was going to be included. You know, I've heard him say so many times, you know, that he was nothing to me. I wasn't his father. I couldn't be his father. You know, he was struggling with, why don't I feel angry? Why don't I feel like I need to avenge his death? Like, where is all that emotion and passion? That was one thing to hear him struggle with. But to hear him just come right out and say, because he deserved to die, I was blown away. I wasn't sure Jaime was capable of that type of brutal honesty around Joffrey. So, yeah.
Jaime is a really complicated character.
He really, really is.
He's honestly one of my favorites. And, like, they do some stuff with him in the show, but the direction that so many things go was so disappointing that inevitably with him as well, I was sort of like, what are you doing, guys? I feel like his desire to make up for, like, his own reputation, like, there was sort of a fatalist attitude about his reputation as the Kingslayer when he could back up all of his worth as, well, I'm this amazing swordsman and nobody's gonna fuck with me. Mm-hmm, and then he loses that defense. And he's suddenly like, well, then what am I now without that? And he realizes I need more to me than just the guy who's super good with a sword. If once I lose a hand, my entire personality fucking disappears. Like, which we see when he goes up to write in the book.
I was just going to say, that's something too. I know we talked an episode or two ago about this book, and because I made a joke about it being the book that Brienne ends up writing in like the finale.
Mm-hmm.
But
dry the ink.
Yeah, but this has him writing it himself.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he writes, it's not great. He just, you know, I was defeated in the woods. I was held captain. I was ransomed. I was captured again. I was maimed and lost my hand. And then I got returned safely to King's Landing. And he credits Brienne for getting him back safely.
Mm-hmm.
And then his chapter ends with the fact that there is more, still 3/4 of his page was still empty.
Yeah.
So there's like a lot left that he could write. And it just says, the rest Jaime Lannister would need to write for himself. He could write whatever he chose, whatever he chose. So yeah, like to your point about him deciding what choosing, like what and who he's going to be now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's more than one, like, earlier, when he gives her the sword, he says to please call it Oathkeeper. And Austin sent me some notes, and he mentions that in the show, Brienne is the one who names it Oathkeeper. And then to your point here, she's the one who writes about his deeds in this book. And in the books, he is the one who takes responsibility for the what's the word I want? Ignominious career that he has had thus far. And so I just feel like the show wanted to keep him as this sort of like fatalist, well, who the fuck cares? It's all bullshit. And have him take these few moments of doing the right thing as a sort of, well, when push comes to shove, he'll still be a decent guy.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the book, I feel like he is actively trying to be a decent guy. It's not like, you know, when it comes down to it and he's faced with a life or death situation, he finally sees his priorities. It's took that to get him here.
Mm-hmm.
But once he's here, it is a conscious ongoing effort. It's not, but it's a difficult thing to put on screen because he is keeping this facade up all the time.
And the other thing too that the show did, which is, it's the first thing we ever see really of Jamie in the books and in the show, especially on the show though, is him pushing a child out of a window. And that is who he is.
Right.
In that moment. That is the kind of man he is. He is a type of man that pushes a small child out of a very tall tower window, presumably to his death. It just so happens that Brand didn't die. Right. That's a piece of shit person.
Mm-hmm. Just he pushes him and then goes back and sticks his dick back in his sister
and says some kind of pilfy the things I do for love, you know. That's a terrible fucking person. And I feel like the show didn't want us to hate Jamie, so they made him like really likable and funny. And we don't have access from the show of how like dark and quite frankly mean-spirited Jamie is when in his mind, at least, you know, the type of things he thinks, what he thinks of people, how little he thinks of people, how little he thinks of himself, quite frankly.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so that so then as you watch like this man now in the book struggling with like who he is now, you know, he's not, I'm not saying he's redeemed, but he's not the same person to push Bran out the window either. You know, and then it becomes a question really for the reader. Like, I don't know about if I'm necessarily interested in a redemption story for Jaime Lannister, but I'm definitely interested in watching his character try to reconcile what kind of man he is. You know, it's very, it makes for fucking good reading.
Yep, definitely. So, okay. Then we'll go to John. And we start things off with John. He has been kept in an ice cell overnight.
Oh, this is terrible.
Basically, they threw him into the walk-in.
Oh, this is awful. They did. They're like, this is where we keep food fresh. Put it in the coldest spot you can find. This is, oh, this is all terrible.
And when they bring him out. I'm sorry, I had to. They are like, all right, so what we're going to do is have you go and talk to Mance Rayder, because since he knows you, he'll trust you more. To which John is like, why?
This is the worst logic. Would you think that? That makes no sense. Why? Oh, that is so, so ridiculous. You can't send a known double agent back out to the people he betrayed. Like, what? Just fucking nonsense.
And really, what it comes down to is that they're just hoping that they can be rid of him.
Yeah. Because it turns out that they want to kill him, but Aemon has kind of interceded, and now they can't just execute John the way they want it.
Yeah.
And they're salty as fuck about it, too.
Very.
Old blind man getting in the way. Who does he think he is? Like, they literally say, who does he think he is?
Yep. So
John is like, who he is. He's fucking Aemon Targaryen. a king's son and a king's brother and a king who might have been. The fuck y'all talking about?
Who are you with the weird spear sigil that's so kind of sad and pathetic looking? Oh my god, a spear with blood dripping off it. That's scary. Okay.
She'll might as well just say, do you know who I am on it?
Right?
So everybody can be like, actually, no.
Nah.
Never heard of you.
So this, and the way that they talk to him, eventually it becomes clear to him, oh, Janos Slint is a fucking dodo bird. Mm-hmm, it's clearly Alizar Thorn that's behind all of this idea.
Yeah.
And he is smug as hell about it. He really is feeling himself.
I
hate Alizar Thorn so much.
He's smart enough to let Janos think that he's running the show.
Mm-hmm.
And Janos is so like fucking slow on the uptake that he doesn't really understand that he's getting kind of played. So it's actually like Alistair like knows what the fuck he's doing.
Yep.
Those type of people always do. You know, they really do know how to work that kind of shit. So John eventually is just like, all right, I'll go. This is all dumb as fuck, but I'll go. And Janos is like, you'll address me as my lord. We're still doing this?
I love the way that John decides to handle this.
It's so fucking petty and passive. I'll go, my lord. But you're making a mistake, my lord.
I love it so much. You're sending the wrong man, my lord. Just the sight of me is going to anger Mance. My lord would have a better chance of reaching terms. And that's when they're like, reaching terms? We want you to kill this motherfucker. We don't need terms. What are you talking about? And then he's like, oh, okay, I see what's happening here. Because I am still disabled from this injury. Y'all just want me to go out there and die. Yep. I got it.
Yep. So he's like, you know, they couldn't just leave him to die in the fucking ice cell or whatever. Their hands are tied, so they have come up with this elaborate plan to have John be murdered and it not be their fault.
Yep.
And they send him out. They just like I also thought this was going to be like a later chapter, but they send him out like immediately.
Yeah.
And he makes his way to the camp, and the person who greets him is Tormund.
Yay! So
I love that. Like, immediately I was like on board. And they have a wonderful little ride back to the Wildling camp where they talk about things that they've seen and what they've been through. They like raise a toast to Ygritte and I think to Mag the Mighty. They raise a glass to Donald.
I love it when he's just like, man, the guy who killed the giant was probably a great lord or something, right? And he was a blacksmith with one arm, actually. And I thought Tormund was going to be like, god damn. But instead he's like, wow, really? That's awesome. What a badass.
Right?
He's like, god damn it, Tormund. I love you so much.
He says, Mance will make a song of it.
I just love him.
He is the best. He really, really is the best. So they're passing this drink back and forth, and they're talking a little bit about, you know, what happened on the Wildling side of this battle. Because the other thing Tormund is saying is like, y'all really gave us a run for our money. Like, I can't front. Y'all pulled some shit off. Like, it was impressive. And he tells Jon about how the Thin... Magnar had swore that he would have the gate wide open and that's all they were going to need. And that shit didn't fucking happen.
It did not.
And then Tormund asked John about his leg and he's like, I think it was an arrow, probably one of Ygritte's. And Tormund's like, that's a woman for you. Now, normally I would be offended by that, but I wasn't. I wasn't at all.
Look, if you're going to say that's a woman for you to shoot you with one of her arrows, I'm like, that's a compliment. I don't know.
And then Tormund is like, if I'd have been younger, I'd have had her for myself, man. Mm-hmm. And then I think Tormund asked John, was it you that killed her? like meaning a greet. And John is like, no, I think one of my brothers did it. But he doesn't know who.
Yeah.
And he thinks to himself, he hopes he never finds out who actually did it.
Yeah.
That long spear stole me daughter.
Oh my God. I love this because he's just like, he doesn't fight with the spear. So I guess good for her.
It is really good.
The whole conversation is so like affectionate, weirdly. You know?
He seems very happy for his daughter.
Like, yeah, like everything. Only
went the best for her.
Yeah, even with John, he's like, man, it sucks you're on the other side because I don't want you to die exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, on the one hand, you're a crow, so fuck you.
Right.
But on the other hand, yeah, right.
So then they get to the camp and shit is tense.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it does that thing where it gets kind of quiet as he's walking by and everybody's like whispering and looking at each other and shit. That's like super awkward. And they escort him to Mance's tent.
Yep.
And Mance is just like, you must be very brave or very stupid.
You just can't know los dos.
Right. And then other people have opinions. Harma is just like, kill him right now. Send his body back up to that goddamn cage of theirs and tell him to send us somebody else.
There is something about Harma and the fact that it's like all dead dogs forever that is really upsetting to me. That is just like, look, I could have had my standard be any animal that I killed. But no, I'm gonna have it be a dog, which is like, it's not really a flex that you can kill dogs. Like, I don't really get, but it does kind of freak me out successfully. So I can't even say that it's ineffective.
Harma has some real specific personal beef with dogs. Because they say, is Harma, I can't remember if it's a man or a woman?
No, it's a woman. It's a woman. Right. Okay, yeah.
She says a turn cloak is worse than a dog. So dogs are already very, very low. Right? They're at the very bottom.
I guess that's true. I didn't really notice that.
A turn cloak is even worse than a dog.
So, you know those things that I proudly kill and display their heads? He sucks more than those.
Right? So yeah, I don't think she's trying to inspire fear. She just don't fuck with dogs.
I don't know why that's so much funnier. It's like me having a moth. She's like, why a moth? I don't like moths.
Oh
fuck
my God.
Fuck a moth.
One of my good friends posted, you know, they're very like nature oriented and like appreciative of nature in all of its ways. And they're big fans of moths, and they posted this like screenshot. It was like six really brightly, objectively, beautifully colored moths. Mm-hmm. But I skeeved so hard. I have never scrolled past the post faster. I mean, they were beautiful. They looked like they weren't even real. But
yeah, they were still moths.
And you could look at the picture and you could tell that they were like furry.
Yep, yep.
And it's worse.
That
was it for me, y'all. Yep. That was it for me.
There are some things that fur makes it worse, and it's few and far between. But when it's there, it is uncomfortable. And moths, definitely one of them for me. It's just like, no, man, it's an insect with fur. It's like, yep. My immediate thought is prickles. That thing has got like poison spines or something, you know, like some caterpillars have that where they make you itch real bad.
Moths are out there like, we're just trying to mind our business.
No, you're not. No, you're not. No moth has ever minded his business. Every moth is always just like, what's that? What's that? What's that? Knocking into shit. My window, the light bulb, fucking my windshield, whatever.
You're right.
They are up in my shit. I would be fine if they would just mind their own goddamn business.
They absolutely do not mind their own business. You are 100% right. They are like aggressively all up in your business all the time.
You know what? You got me now. Like, this is really starting to coagulate for me. It's crystallizing. I will have a moth with a flame as my shield. That would be my banner.
Okay.
And just be like, that's what I do to my enemies. Like a moth to a flame, as I lure you in and then you get burned. And fuck moths also, as an aside. Anyway.
So we have a great moment too where Varamyr is like, I told you that motherfucker was lying. I mean.
This whole thing is so fun. It's just a series of just like this asshole. Oh, this right? asshole. Oh, it's this asshole. It's like all different tones, but everybody's saying the same thing.
And it goes on for a bit. You're right. Everybody gets a chance to say.
Yep.
So then finally, we do find out that they have someone that can warg, and someone has taken the eagle that Oral like that sort of died in. So they have that ability now. So that's how they know exactly how many men they have up there. We knew how few you were when you stopped the turtle. We know how many came from Eastwatch. We know about your supplies have dwindled, et cetera, et cetera. So they got like some inside information. And the guy that is in the wargs now, they just keep calling him the skin changer. I missed his name. But one of the things he says is that now that I can slip inside and ride the eagle, I can still hear Oral whispering how much he hates you.
I love that so much. Oral is also doing this asshole.
From beyond the grave.
Yep.
It's just, I appreciate, like, consistency. Oh, that's so good. So, Mance has everybody leave, except his women can stay. Tormund is like, I have to go too. And somebody is like, particularly you.
It's Mance, I think, who says, particularly you. Yeah.
Oh, that's the best. And then we find out that they have the big thing that we find out here is that they found the fucking horn.
Yeah.
This thing that wasn't even supposed to be a real thing.
John is like, she said that you hadn't found it. And he's like, I hope she fucking did. Mm-hmm. You think I'm just going to tell you? Why would I tell you anything?
So they have it. And it, like we know, it's supposed to be able to like bring down the wall. And Whit Mance's offering is to actually give the horn to the Brothers of the Night Watch if they will let them pass. Because at this point, they're not really even trying to fucking fight y'all. There's bigger shit. And he tells John, you know what the fuck's out there. You know what's really going on. We just want to fucking pass through.
Basically, he's like, why would I bring the one thing down that could possibly protect us from this? Like, look, we'll bring it down if we're going to die anyway.
Yeah,
we may as well bring it with us, but I'm not going to just go ahead and blow it at first thing before I've had a chance to try and break through and get safe again.
And I love that when they're having this conversation, it's Dalla who says the thing about once the wall has fallen, what will stop the others.
Mm-hmm.
And Mance is like, ah, you see my girl? You see my girl right there? So that's what they want to do. They want the brothers to open the gate and let them pass. And John is like, okay, but if you go to the other side of the wall, you know, we got laws and shit. People are in charge. There are rules and laws, and you got to, like, swear to a king and et cetera, et cetera. And Mance is like, nah, we're nah. We're not doing none of that shit. We just want to get through. We're not trying to, like, give up our freedom. We're just trying to get to safety. And... Mance. Yeah, this is, like, I don't even know.
What do you think, man? What do you think is going to happen?
Like, exactly. I don't know. Like, there's so many of them. I guess they could go, you know, pass through the wall and settle in what, like, the north is for Westeros, right? But south of the wall. And there's so much disorganization happening right now between, like, who's in, like... Stannis and King's Landing and Daenerys is out there, and they probably could live in the north and not be bothered for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many of them. They would end up, I would imagine, they would end up sort of overrunning and maybe even raiding, like, the people of the North.
Definitely.
And then those people are going to go to their warden and complain. Mm-hmm. And then, like, there'll have to be some kind of intervention, you know, like something would have to be done. There's no way that a conflict doesn't arise eventually, even if it doesn't happen, like, right away.
And I feel like the wall would be held responsible for just letting them on through, you know?
Absolutely. The only difference is I don't know how, like, if they held the people, the men of the wall, to account for letting them pass through, and they want to enact some kind of justice, like, there's only a handful of people at the wall. What, are you going to kill them all? Mm. Then who's going to be left up there, you know?
Yeah.
How are you going to get people up there? Somebody's got to be up there. But so this is what they want. And Mance is like, and if you don't do this, if you refuse us, we're going to fucking sound that horn of winter in 3 goddamn days. And we'll just see what the fuck happens, won't we?
Mm-hmm.
And this is sort of what John is left with. This is the message she's supposed to be taking back to Castle Black to fucking, can you imagine? Taking this message to Slint and Alistair. Like, gross.
What do you think they're going to say?
Oh, I can't. Absolutely not. This is, first of all, they're going to be mad as fuck that John showed back up alive.
True.
First of all, they're going to be really mad about that. And then absolutely would not agree to let them pass through. And I'm sure that they don't believe that the horn is a real thing.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't even think that was a threat. They think it was nonsense, right? So, but. While this is all being mulled over, even John is like, maybe I'll just take the horn and destroy it.
Mm.
Maybe that's the move.
So you know, trying to have a bargaining chip.
Right? Trying to figure out, like, what he's going to do next. And then there's another horn. And a bitch was reading, got nervous. And then I was like, oh, wait, no, it's a different horn. It's fine. It's fine. Because someone is coming. And they realize that something is coming from the east. And they don't know what it is. Is it the others coming? And everyone is like, or Mance is like, nah, the sun is still up. It can't be them. They don't come up during the day, which I thought was interesting.
Mm.
But, and they all, like, go to get to their horses and get their armor and are trying to figure out what's coming. And they see that it's men in steel, men in black, and they're on horses. So everybody's initial reaction is, oh, these are the rest of the brothers coming.
Yeah.
Like, you lied to us, John. There's an attack coming. You just were coming to talk to us, but really, this is what was happening. And John was like, the fuck?
John, no, the fuck did I do?
I felt so bad for him because
I wasn't even supposed to be right? here today.
This is so not his fault. They have already put him in an unbelievable situation by making him go back down and face Mance Rayder,
mm-hmm.
and try to, like, come to terms when really they could have just taken his head off the first second he showed up at camp. Then he actually has a conversation with Mance, finds out what Mance wants, what Mance is willing to give in return. John is still trying to figure out the best way to deal with this information, and now he's being blamed for an attack that he had absolutely no part of.
Yep.
And it is just like a really bad day for our boy. It's just a bad day. So yeah, I was reading this. I did not know who was coming. I had no idea. I was very confused. Men in steel and men in black. I was like, Mance is like crows. And I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But then I said, no, it can't be. Because I know it's not enough. They don't have enough people for all this.
Yeah.
So I was like, who could it be? Who is coming? And, yeah, y'all, I didn't know till it told me.
Surprise!
Yep. It's fucking...
So, what do you think?
Also, somebody, while this all happens, doesn't Dala go into childbirth?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
And, the other girl comes out and is like, I need the midwife. And John's like, you are the midwife. Turn around and go back inside. Truly, this is not the time, ma'am. It's
like his day is just getting worse and worse and worse.
It's true.
Because Mance has left to go, like, fight. Like, Mance has got his armor and his axe or whatever the fuck, and is, like, out out in the melee trying to figure out what's going on and get ready to fight. And John is like trying to keep an eye on him, like, oh, he's there, now he's over there. Then he loses sight of him, then he finds him again. Meanwhile, this chick is now giving birth. And he is just like, what do I do? What do I do? Everybody is asking John, like, where is Mance? And John is just like, he's out there somewhere.
Like, you killed him, you son of a bitch.
Oh my God. It's just the worst shit. And where is it? There's some trumpets start blowing and everybody gets confused because John is confused. Like, wait, they don't have, Wildlings don't have trumpets.
They got horns. That's what they got.
Right?
A couple horns, apparently. But
and he starts to be able to see a little
just
bit.
For some reason, wait, I'm just what? Like, I'm like, that is not the tune. But that is when I hear trumpets, that is immediately what's playing in my head.
How funny would that be? It was like a massive fight scene to that soundtrack.
Oh man.
Oh shit.
I loved that song as a kid. Like, that it was one of those that got played very rarely for, like, you know, kind of Nick at Night played a lot. There were different things that would happen, and I was always just like, man, they don't make music like they used to. I was like a boomer. Oh, I loved that shit. Anyway.
They don't make music like they used to.
I liked it. I liked the brass.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
You know, you would be thinking that I would get into ska. Didn't move me though.
No,
not a ska girl.
I had to give you some good first wave ska. None of that fucking later shit. Give you the good stuff.
None of that later shit.
No, you don't want none of that. I'm not gonna name any names because I don't want to insult people, but. Y'all are listening. Y'all know who I mean. You don't want none of that. You want some of the old stuff. But anyway, okay. All right. So as they start to get a little bit closer, John is able to see that they are coming, the enemy are coming from the east, from the northeast, and the north. These big columns, all the steel, surcoats, and John is able to be like, okay, these guys... That's not us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a real army. And John is like, is it the king? And for a fucking second, he's like, is it Rob?
Yeah.
Okay.
Does he not know that Rob is dead? He doesn't then, right?
I was confused. I thought for sure he knew Rob was dead by now and that this was just a weird, like, lapse, you know? But maybe he doesn't know because he was off with the Wildlings while all that shit was going on. And then he comes back. But no, I feel like wouldn't news have reached Maester Aemon by now?
I would think so.
I would think so too. But honestly, I don't know. I mean, he thinks it occurs to him that it could be Rob. So I guess that means he doesn't know. But I thought that he did.
I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah. So he's watching and he sees, you know. One column washes over Harma, another goes into Tormund's, and poor Val is just like, why are they doing this?
Yeah, this sucks. This is bad timing.
Yeah. So they're just getting swamped. Like this army is coming from everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
And John is just watching everything. He's watching them try to fight, but these people that they're fighting are just riding right fucking over them.
Yeah. Fucking cavalry.
Yeah. You know, they got steel. They have armor. They're on fucking horses. Like the Wildlings are just not really. They can't do nothing about this.
Mm-hmm.
He sees Mance's horse go up and take a spear. And then that's it. He doesn't see Mance anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And John is like, that's it. They're breaking. They're running. You know, they're all scattering. Mance was gone. Somebody is waving Harma's head on a pole, which is like, Jesus Christ.
Oh my God, I forgot.
Yeah.
Right.
Tormund's line is broken, but he can't see him anymore. It's bad. Like, they've been ravaged. And John is still trying to figure out what the fuck and who the fuck. Mm-hmm. And finally, he gets to see a standard. And for a second, he's like, oh, it's a black stag. And he thinks Robert.
I'm like, sir.
Fucking John. Can I catch up, please?
His fucking current events. He is not on that at all. You need to subscribe to some things.
Reset his Google alert. He's getting all kinds of old, irrelevant information. And then that's when we find out, because now he can hear, and they're all saying Stannis.
Yeah.
And then John just walks back and tied to the tent. Yeah.
It's very helpful that they're all yelling Stannis.
Super helpful. Super helpful. Yeah. You know, I figure that's probably, you know, par for the course back then, because how else are you going to know who the fuck you're riding with if you're not just yelling that shit out loud?
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, with Arya, she yelled Winterfell was her, like, battle cry, right?
Mm-hmm.
But not, like, Ned. It was Winterfell. But Stannis doesn't have, like, Storm's End. That's not his. And Dragonstone isn't really even, like, his. Yeah. So I guess you just can't do that the same way with Stannis.
No, no. And also, these are his men chanting his name. Like, Arya yelling Winterfell is what she chooses. Like, do we think Stannis is also yelling Stannis?
Fucking amazing.
So you see what I mean? Like, it's... So it makes sense that, like, his men are chanting the name of their king. It's very, like, different energy than, like, Arya yelling for, you know, for Winterfell. Hopefully Stannis is yelling something like, you know, for Westeros or for the Seven Kingdoms, you know, since he imagines himself a king, you know, if he were going to have... Oh, did you hear that, Shane?
Ooh.
I didn't even know that was going to come out. It just slipped right on out.
Yikes! She said, since he imagines himself a king.
I didn't even know that was going to happen, y'all.
Wow. She just... That was brutal.
I guess I have feelings.
Oh, I love this. I love this. We should start a fake radio Westeros where we're like like a gossip girl, but set in Westeros where we're just like talking shit about people.
I thought that's what we were doing.
Well, I guess that's true, but I wanted to do it more in context with, like, the language of the day. I said Radio Westeros, and I'm like, I don't know, that rings a bell. I think there is something that calls itself Radio Westeros.
I would be surprised if there wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fancies itself Radio Westeros to take a leaf out of your shady book.
I got some unresolved feelings about Stannis, y'all.
Look, Stannis is just... I am all for rule following. You know that. I am a slave to, like, what does it say in the official... But Stannis, man, you are too much.
He's just too fucking rigid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to have some flexibility. You gotta have some give. You know?
Yep.
And then the shit that he's is demonstrating that he has flexibility around is all the wrong shit.
Yep.
Like, I don't want you to be flexible about sacrificing a child.
Right? about sending a shadow to kill your brother.
Like, that's not the compromise I'm looking for. That's not the wiggle room I'm talking about.
I like it, though, because it does make sense. Like, he feels like he's been so wronged so many times that the places that he's willing to stretch a point, he's like, well, nobody's ever done right by me, so fuck you.
Yeah, he's like, I've been so wrong that no one has ever dealt with me honorably. I don't have to deal with these people honorably. Yeah. So I can cheat.
Yep.
Which is fine, but you also can't be a cheater and then hold yourself up as like the moral compass.
That's the one. Anyway, so that's the end of the chapter. Is John?
Yeah, enjoy them both.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. Like, it just says like John turned away and went back in the tent in a very like
very casual.
Oh well, I guess this is happening now,
right? Like, all right, I guess we'll see what happens next. I don't know. I'm going back inside where this bitch is trying to have a baby. See if I can help that out. Like, I can't do nothing out here.
The name of the skin changer is Varamyr Six Skins, by the way.
Okay.
And he has got a few animals, like it's mentioned about his wolves and things like this.
The Shadow Cat is his too, right? Mm-hmm.
And he has the eagle now as well. His whole vibe creeps me out. He's done in the audiobook with this sort of very soft spoken kind of voice that is a lot more sinister and threatening than the growl, for example, that we get for I wanted to say Thanos. That's not who
that
I
can't
meant.
Be right.
Torment. Thanos. Oh man, it's time to wrap this up. And speaking of Varamyr, really quick, he starts screaming his head off because he is on fire.
Oh, that's right. John looks up into the sky because he's like in the tent or whatever, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But he's warging into the eagle, and John looks up, and that motherfucker is on fire. And then he just starts screaming in the tent, and that was really creepy.
Yeah, very. It's so abrupt, his screaming, apparently, because I think that John doesn't see the eagles on fire until after the screaming.
I think that's what makes him look up, right?
Yeah. Wait, what the fuck is going on? So that sucks. And considering that the mind of the other skin changer was in this guy's head now, I guess that even Varamyr would be still alive after the eagle dies. Right?
I don't know. I really don't know. Like, if the eagle dies while he's in it, we know from Oral that he can't just go back to his body. Otherwise, Oral would have just done that, right? So
Oral's body was the one, was his own body died. That's the one that John stabbed.
Oh, right. John killed the body while he was in
the
bird. So this is somebody who's in the bird. But the bird goes, so then he should just be able to go back to his own body.
I would think, right?
But I really don't know. I mean, if that was the case, after a couple of seconds of screaming, wouldn't he just be back to himself? And John doesn't seem to mention it.
I don't know how, if you're in the midst of suffering that kind of pain, how clear your mind is to jump back into yourself.
All right, so here we go. After he tells the girl, Val, that you're the midwife, it says that he saw a mammoth pluck a knight from his saddle. Women and children were running. A few of them gave John dark looks, but Longclaw was in his hand, and no one troubled him. Even Varamyr fled, crawling off on his hands and knees.
So that's after he's been on fire? He recovered and he's escaping now.
Yeah, you know what? It's the second to very last page. So, but yeah, it looks like he came back to his body and he just ran away.
Run away. All right. Well, I'm going to say hi to new patrons next week. We don't have any at the moment and we are also running over time. So, we will pick that up. You guys don't know how long I may as well mention this here. I have to leave Crowdcast as my video provider for my lives because they are raising the price almost five times what it is currently for fewer features. And Rashawn and I spent a few hours earlier today testing out other options to see what worked. And it was just so tiring.
Yeah, we have been. It is my time. It is 5:45.
Mm-hmm.
And we got on the call at 12 my time. So we've been on this for almost 6 hours.
Yeah, it's been a day.
It's been a day, y'all.
So just FYI to those of you who do come to the lives, whether it's Spoil Me or, the patrons only lives, me and Rashawn or me and Miles, we are going to be it won't probably be for another month because it's going to take a lot of changes. But we are going to be shifting out of Crowdcast and probably a lot of old links that I had sent won't work anymore. So if you start running into things that you're like, why, when I click this thing from this old post, it's like, no, there's an error. It may be that all my shit's gone by the time you click it. So who knows? Yeah. I'm going to be losing a lot of video because Crowdcast stores things for me, but it doesn't, like, I don't automatically get a download of the video of it, and I haven't uploaded them anywhere else. And I'm not planning on doing that, to be honest. I may save some of the like videos for more recent stuff just to have, but I'm not planning on like downloading the whole archive and then uploading it all to the website. I don't think enough people are interested in the videos as much as audio in the main.
Right.
So I don't really feel like that'll be worthwhile. But I just wanted to let you guys know that, you know, there's going to be a lot of big changes coming up, and to please bear with me because shit's going to get quite messy for a little while.
Yeah. It's a big undertaking.
Yeah.
That, you know, came because Crowdcast decided to make some changes and they did not roll out that information in a way that made sense.
So you guys, I had to like reach out to them and ask because they didn't share, and they took a week to get back to me. They didn't even like know what to tell me. And then I had like follow up questions, and I'm currently still waiting. It's been 3 days for an answer to the follow up question. So they're just not on their shit. And I'm honestly feeling like probably I should have left before now.
Yeah, well, but if we had known that it was going to be this bad, you would have.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what can you do?
So it's likely that we're going to move just over to YouTube, which I hadn't been using because it's a pain in the ass, honestly, with third-party software to get things working on YouTube the way that I want. And I can't have everything under one's like title with multiple sessions the way that I could in Crowdcast for multiple episodes covering Sookie Stackhouse, you know? So I can make playlists, but that's after the fact. It's not something that I can like, it's a whole thing. YouTube doesn't have some of the functionality that I got used to that was super helpful to the way that I do things. So that's also going to be an adjustment. So anyway, I'll keep you guys apprised, but just for now, be ready for me to be more of a mess than usual, which is really quite All right. I will see you next week, everybody. We love you very much. Until then, toodaloo, motherfuckers.
Bye, guys.
Joffrey. Cersei. Walder Frey.
Hodor.
Meryn Tron. Tywin Lannister.
Was an Unspoiled Network podcast.